This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi Exceptional Luxury Performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com.
Well, Tony Jacklin is a two-time major champion, a member of the World Golf Hall of Fame, and now a novelist. Along with Shelby Yastro, he has written the book Bad Lies. It's a pleasure to welcome Tony Jacklin back to the Augusta Golf Show. It has been too long. Hello, Tony.
Hi, John. How are you?
You know, I'm great. How have you been?
Yeah, can't complain. I keep getting up in the morning, you know, like you should.
I'm happy to hear that. For the listener, who they might want to know, how much golf is in your life right now? How much do you play?
I play very little, John. Yeah. I'm living here in southwest Florida, Bradenton, and of course summertime is very hot. But I don't play much social golf anymore. I still host the British Par 3 Championships in August in England, and I go over there for a couple of weeks a year. And my golf at this end is confined to sort of charity days and that sort of thing.
I do see you. You do participate when these groups and tournaments get a bunch of you guys together, you and David and Jack and Lee and whomever. Do you enjoy that? Do you have a good time doing that?
I actually do. Yeah, I enjoy seeing the guys. Catching up. And that being said, I watch the end of tournaments. I watch quite a bit of golf on television, both the main tour and the ladies tour, so I'm still obviously interested in how they all react coming down the stretch and that sort of thing, I'm still interested in results.
What amazes you the most watching the players of today? Is it length? Is it an easy answer?
Well, yeah. I mean, the ball just goes so far. I mean, it's a completely different game that we played with them. These guys don't, other than off the tee to keep it in the fairway, they don't hit long irons. I mean, we were hitting long irons into par fours 50 years ago. And we really needed to hold back a tricks. But when you get the likes of Koepka winning, two Opens in a row, and obviously he can really play, but last year winning without hitting more than a 7-iron into any of the greens, it's making a mockery of the game. But there we are. That's progress, I suppose.
Yeah. In your heyday, you hit the 5-iron how far?
180.
Okay.
And the same as everybody else, basically. It was Nicklaus and Weisskopf. They could flight the ball higher, and they maybe got a few extra yards out of the 2 and 3 iron and 1 iron. But essentially, a 7 iron was 150 for all of us, and 165 for the 6 iron, 180 for the 5, and on. That Ballata ball wouldn't go any further, when it. And of course, aerodynamically, it wasn't anywhere near what the modern ball is either. So there we are.
Yeah.
We needed less space to play our game.
Yeah, true.
Which was a good thing.
I understand. I want to talk about the book. Full title of the book is Bad Lies, The Story of Libel, Slander, and Professional Golf. Tell me how this came about, Tony.
Well, it was interesting. I was at the Ryder Cup at Hazeltine, and I was in the Great Clips marquee. They invited me to sort of meet and greet a few of their customers. The president of Great Clips is a member at Hazeltine. And one of the board members joined us for dinner one night, Shelby Yastro, and Shelby and I sat next to each other, and kind of hit it off. And a few weeks later, he contacted me, and he'd said he'd got the outline of a book penned, and would I be interested in co-authoring it with him? And I said, well, let me see what you've done. And he sent me the transcript, and I was very impressed with it. I thoroughly enjoyed the read, and then we started collaborating after that. Obviously, I contributed some golf anecdotes and the like, but it's a terrific read. It's a work of fiction, and essentially it's about a very successful senior player who burst onto the senior tour not having had a professional career before, and he took the world by storm and won 13 or so tournaments in his first couple of years. He was unstoppable, and then a magazine writes a couple of articles about him and accusing him of taking drugs and cheating, and of course he has to no option but to defend himself, and he gets a Chicago lawyer to do that, and well, I'll let you read the
Absolutely.
Rest yourself. It's intriguing. It's a terrific read with some great characters. His representative, Charlie Mayfield, the lawyer, is a great character, and all the way through, I mean, the characters are wonderful, and it's a great read. So here we are. You know, we're promoting it where we can. We're doing some signing sessions, especially late in the year in Arizona, and we'll be doing some signing sessions in the UK in August. It's exciting. Of course, it's a completely different avenue for me.
Well, I want to ask you, we're talking, by the way, with Tony Jacklin here on the Augusta Golf Show. I want to ask you about that, Tony, and I mean this seriously. You've played golf at the highest levels. You're a major champion. You're a Hall of Fame member. I also know that, you know, years ago you released a CD where you were singing, and now I know, and now you do this, and now you've done this. Do you need to do that, Tony? Do you need to do this wide variety of things to do? Is that what interests you? Is that what keeps you excited?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't retire from the world. I mean, these things sort of different things pop up, you know, and who knows? I mean, I've hosted, for example, the British Par 3 for 11 years, and I usually sing a song or so over there for my wife when we go, and that's become a sort of, I don't know what you'd call it, a ritual, but a tradition. I'm no Mario Lanza, but you know, I'm sincere about it, and I enjoy doing it. And so there's a bit of this and a bit of that, and that's what makes the world go round for me.
But do you feel like, I mean, does it keep you young? Do you feel like you need to be engaged in different things?
Well, it keeps me involved, and okay. I mean, my main hobby, the thing that occupies most of my time, is my woodworking, my marquetry. I still do that sort of every day. I make pieces of artwork. We're just working on, it's going to be 50 years next year since the concession with Jack, you know. So
right.
I've done a concession piece. I'm in the process of doing multiple pieces. And I always enjoy the result at the end. You know, I do all the work myself. I do all the finishing myself. And I don't three-putt. So, you know, what's wrong with that?
Speaking of putting, I have to ask before I let you go. Phil Mickelson, U.S. Open. When you first saw what he did, what did you think?
Well, I was shocked. I was shocked. But of course, the bottom line is he wouldn't have had to do it if they hadn't set the course up idiotically on the Saturday. I mean, but, you know, it was clear that the guy had come to the end of his tether. And I thought, you know, I thought he'd... and, of course, it took him a few days to, you know, fully realize what had happened. But, you know, it was amazing. It's a funny thing, John. I remember playing in the Open Championship in 1972 at Millfield. And I was playing with Hubert Green, and we were held up on the fifth tee, and he started driving balls off into the far distance, the opposite way to where we were going. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I'm hitting a few balls." This is in the middle of a championship round, of course, and it was allowed at the time. And, of course, what Phil did was, would seem to be allowed, but I suspect they need to make a rule that will prevent that happening again. Yeah. But a bit of common sense setting the courses up from the USGA would have helped a lot.
Well, that's why I love you, because I ask you a question about Phil and I get a great Hubert Green story out of it, too. He is Tony Jacklin, World Golf Hall of Fame member. Again, the brand new book, it's a novel. It's called Bad Lies, The Story of Libel, Slander, and Professional Golf. Available wherever you get your books, on Amazon.com and wherever. Tony, it's great to catch up with you. Thank you for saying yes to doing this, and we will talk again soon.
My pleasure, John. God bless you. Bye.